back. 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309.
This is News Talk KGVO, AM 1290 and 98.3 FM. KGVO, Missoula's news and weather station.
Hey, welcome, everybody. It is the Wednesday edition, May 1st. It's May Day 2024, and this is Talk Back, brought to you this morning by Harrington Surgical Supply, where you can feel confident in their discreet and knowledgeable guidance on a multitude of products and medical supplies. That's Harrington Surgical Supply. Y West Storage is out of the Y. If you need storage, storage unit, they're out at the Y on Two Smokes Way. Here's their number, 406-510-0590, because at Y West Storage, they're making room for you. And by Phillips Janitorial, where they offer both residential and commercial cleaning with state-of-the-art equipment and your satisfaction guaranteed. Their number, 406-260-6617.
The views and opinions expressed on TalkBack are not those of the staff, management, or advertisers.
Good morning, everybody. Glad to have you along. I'm Peter Christian. That is Mr. Nick Christensen right over there. Mr. Nick, howdy.
Good morning.
All right. And joining us here in the studio, the one and only Walt Kiro, our resident CPA from Kiro Byington & Associates, getting ready to sail or float or swim to Alaska.
Do all that. We're going to fly. We're going to fly and boat and all kinds of stuff.
Cool. All right. But right now you're here.
Yes, and we want to talk taxes.
All right. So now I understand that you always are very kind to bring with us your stack of stuff.
Yeah.
But before we get started with that, though, I want to remind folks, if even though tax season is over,
yes,
we all have tax issues that crop up throughout the year, right?
Right.
So if something has happened, maybe you got a letter from the IRS or the Montana Department of Revenue or whatever, and you're confused or don't know quite what to do, or you're approaching Social Security age and don't know how it's going to affect your taxes or whatever it might be.
Yes.
Just give us a call, 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. And Walt, with his over 50 years of experience in the tax business right here in Missoula, we'll be more than happy to help you. All right.
Yeah, so we'll give them general answers to their questions and hopefully head them in the right direction.
Now, you and I were talking before the program started, the official radio program, and evidently the first, you sent us a stack of stuff.
Yes.
And hot button issues for charitable nonprofits. And I was thinking, okay, it's United Way. No, this is going a different direction, right?
Yeah, because it's in the news, and unfortunately so. These nonprofits include tax-exempt organizations known as university foundations.
Hmm.
Oh, my. Are they in the news or what?
Yeah.
So the first item in the stack of stuff has to do with hot-button issues for charitable nonprofits. And I've mentioned this before, but there are two types of nonprofits. There's the regular nonprofit, and then there's the special nonprofits. The special nonprofits are called charitable. Those are the nonprofits, when you make a donation to them, and they're fully registered with the IRS, has a charitable nonprofit, you can take a donation deduction for them. Now, obviously, that includes universities, and more specifically, their foundation. And some of these foundations, like Yale and Harvard and all those, have
Columbia.
Billions and billions of dollars. And, you know, they all mean well. The only problem is when they mean well, sometimes they get misguided and they do stupid stuff. And the stupid stuff is allowing for the political correctness running amok and allowing hatred to fulfill in the universities. And not only the hatred, but the illegality of not stopping discrimination because of the anti-Semitism and all of that stuff. So in preparing, I thought, geez, hot button issues and charitable nonprofits.
Tell you what, we're gonna jump into that when we come back. It's our first break. By the way, the phone lines are open. If you have a tax question for Walt, give us a call at 721-1290. You can also call 1-800-568-5309. You can also use the KGVO app and the message us button, and we'll deliver that to Walt as well. So we'll be back with more right after this.
Les Schwab.
Dennis Bragg with a Town Square weather forecast. A chance of snow early, then rain and snow showers, turning to all rain in the afternoon. A chance we may have some brief thunder out there as well, as we're just warm enough for that with highs near 50. Gusty winds will continue throughout the day. Weather remains unsettled Thursday with a chance of rain and snow showers early and rain in the afternoon, although the chance of showers will drop to 40%. Lows will continue close to freezing. Right now, at least, it looks like sunny and warmer on Friday.
All right, phone lines are open for Walt Kiro here on Talk Back this morning. And the number is 721-1290. If you have a tax question, Walt is here to answer them. We just scratched the surface a little bit about what's going on with these foundations, some of these large universities where there's so much going on, so much turmoil.
Yes, and the topic of hot button issues for charitable nonprofits. When you have a charity or a nonprofit that applies for exempt status, they have to promise to do some of these things and continue to do these things or not do these things.
All right.
And one of, I'm going to go through, there's about a handful of these, but the first one is you don't organize or operate for private interest. So Peter's big foundation just can't be formed just to give him a big salary. Or loan him money without interest and things like that.
Right.
So the second one has to do, the second rule number two is you can't do anything to influence legislation. And then the third one is not to participate in any political campaign. Yeah.
Okay.
So
right.
When you have organizations like the Rainbow Coalition and right. other types of organizations that attempt to shake down corporations and whatnot for money, they may be organized for charitable purposes, but are they truly operating under what they promised not to do? And then another item that's really important and is in the news now is those charities, including these university foundations, they cannot be organized for or conduct activities that are illegal or violate fundamental public policies. So if you've got universities and their administrations and their foundations not stopping illegal activities such as protesting Jewish people, and not allowing them to go to their classes and all that stuff, obviously those people who are affected can file lawsuits against those institutions. But I would like to, you're not going to get much action from these people. And because we've just seen in the last few days, they'll draw a line in the sand and then forget about it. Kind of like some other people that we know used to do those things, is draw a red line, then do nothing about it. But I think those entities, those foundations, should lose their charitable exempt status. And that means they have to pay income tax, and all the people who donated money to them cannot take a charitable donation deduction. So it can really blow up and disrupt a lot of stuff. But I think Congress and our government, if they grow a pair, as Mr. Bongino would say, if they would enforce the existing law, and that's existing law.
Well, we'll see what happens, won't we?
Yeah.
Okay, we do have a caller on the line who has a tax question. Let's get Jay on the line. Jay, good morning. You're on with Walt Kiro. Hi, how you doing, sir?
Hi, Jay.
Hi, thanks. Back in late March, I was doing my family's taxes on TurboTax. Okay. And we ended up owing a chunk of money, federal and state, because in 2023, my wife recharacterized a chunk of retirement money from tax deferred to a Roth.
Yeah.
So we owed a chunk on both.
Right.
When it came to the state, we owed like over $1,000, and it said, okay, you might owe a penalty for,
yes.
I think, because it's too large.
Mm-hmm.
And it said, do you want to calculate it or do you want the state to do it? And I said, okay, let the state do it. So I left it at that, finished it, and filed it, e-filed it. And I'm just wondering, okay, when is the state going to let me know and how are they going to let me know?
Oh, they'll just send you a bill. And
in the mail?
Yeah, in the mail. They'll send you a bill in the mail. When did you file your return?
It was probably at the very beginning of April.
Okay, yeah. They're usually pretty quick about that. The state of Montana's usually quicker than the IRS, but not always. Uh-huh. And the rule is, and this depends on facts and circumstances, but if your withholding for 2023 was equal to or greater than your 2022 tax, you won't get hit with any underpayment of estimated tax penalty. That's just one of the penalties. But if you owe on April 15th X dollars and you don't pay it until say the end of April, then you have a 2-week period where you can be assessed penalties and interest for late payment. And so, you know, that usually is a combination of, you know, like 6% per year on the interest and a similar amount for the late payment. So, but they, you know, if you don't calculate that in there, and if the amount you owe with the return is $1,000 or more, you know, then they'll assess the interest. Now, the question is, you may not get a penalty if on April, whenever you filed the return, you wrote a check and sent it in, because if you have that paid by April 15th, then they shouldn't be dinging you.
Yeah, I paid actually online.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Through the state's online portal thing.
Tell you what, if you don't mind, we're up against a break. I want Walt to finish his answer with you. So we're going to hold you over. We also have Dave waiting on the line. We're going to come right back with more of Talk Back. We'll continue this conversation right after this.
Hello?
Man, where are you? This wedding is lit. I thought you were coming.
Ooh, I can't. I'm in bed with the flu.
The flu? You didn't get a flu shot?
I wish I did. I can't believe I'm missing out on Greg's wedding.
Whoa. Grandma's about to crowd surf.
Grandma's about to what? What?
Man, I'll call you back.
Oh, man.
Sounds like another case of flu FOMO. Don't get stuck at home with the flu. A flu shot is safe, effective, and you can get it at the same time as your COVID-19 vaccine. A flu shot is the best way to prevent the flu and its potentially serious complications. It keeps you protected and also protects your loved ones. Protecting our community can't wait. So why get stuck inside with the flu? Don't get flu FOMO. Learn more at getmyflushot.org.
Brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and the Ad Council.
Life. It's full of moments, from first steps, first loves, moments that make life special. Life can also bring us difficult and disruptive moments like a cancer diagnosis, which is why the groundbreaking work of Stand Up to Cancer is so vital. They know the problem of cancer won't be solved by one doctor, one lab, or one hospital. It takes collaboration. That's why Stand Up to Cancer brings together top minds from different fields to find new and better treatments so patients can thrive. So when it matters, we can all show up for moments of a lifetime. Please join Stand Up to Cancer and Myrtle Beach to help families get back to where they belong, making new memories for years to come. Please go to standuptocancer.org to see how you and join the mission.
They are our cuddlers and co-workers, purr machines and love bugs, and constant companions. They are our pets, our family, and they make life so much better. When we face unexpected challenges in life, so do our pets. That's why we're on a mission to support people who love their pets and the pets who love their people, ensuring these families stay exactly where they belong, together. and you have something to offer. With an open heart and mind, there is nothing you can't do. There's no gesture too small or too big when it comes to helping. Whether donating a bag of kibble, sharing an Instagram post of a lost cat, or welcoming a foster pet into your home, every bit of kindness counts. You can help keep pets and people together. Visit petsandpeopletogether.org to learn how to be a helper in your community. This has been a public service announcement brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
We are back on Talk Back. Walt Kiro, our special guest, of course, our resident CPA from Kiro Byington and Associates. We're right in the middle of talking with Jay. Let's pick up that conversation. Go ahead, gentlemen, please.
Yeah. Okay, Jay, just to add a little to this, because now after putting a few things together and a chance to think about it, you're using TurboTax, and the software is kicking out what we call a diagnostic. It says, hey, you may be stuck with interest and penalties here because you owe more than $1,000 to the state of Montana. And although that's true, that would only apply if you were late in paying. And late in paying would be after April 15th. So I highly suspect that you're not going to get a bill.
Okay.
Yeah, which is what you wanted to hear from me. Now, if what I predict doesn't come out, let me know, because I'd be interested to see how they came after you. But I just, you know, if you made that payment before April 15th, I think you'd be fine.
Okay. I have another quick question.
Sure.
You've talked in the past about if you're a retiree making quarterly payments during the year.
Yeah.
What if somebody were just to do, could I do like a one-time payment to the state, just trying to anticipate what's going to happen next spring, and that would be fine?
Yes.
Or not?
Yeah, I have some elderly people who have a tendency to forget stuff. Yeah, including myself, but
pointing at me.
Yeah.
What was your name again? Yeah.
But I have a handful of clients where I have them, they come into my office and I have them make all four estimated payments in one to be paid in April. And so that way they don't have a chance to forget. Now, it's unfortunate that the government gets to use their money in advance, mm-hmm. but it saves all that paperwork and hassle, and people really hate getting penalties. And so you avoid almost all the penalties when you pay all four estimates in one. You can, instead of having four vouchers, you just have one. Instead of, you just make one payment. You can do that both federal and Montana and any other state you have to pay income taxes to. That sound good, Jay?
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Thank you very much.
Jay, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Thanks for calling. And Dave is up next. Dave, good morning. You're on with Walt. Hi.
Hi, Dave.
Yeah. Hi. Good morning. Yeah, about the student problem, students, I would say that a better approach for them would be to boycott the universities. I mean, if the university empties out of students, it's practices of how it spends the money would change, because the students are where the money comes from, so they would have much more power that way. But I would like to switch gears here and talk about inflation.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump's triple P or PPP program dumped huge sums of money. I mean, he spent tremendous sums of money dumping it into the economy, and to help a few businesses. Now, I'm curious, I'm going to have a question after you answer this, but what were the requirements for the PPP money? Was it as loose as I anticipate, that anyone could walk in and get $100,000? What was the requirements for getting PPP money?
Well, as I can best remember, usually the PPP loans were administered through the Small Business Administration, the SBA. But before it got to the SBA, you usually had a bank involved. And so in order to qualify, you had to meet certain criteria. And the banks where you could get that loan administered that criteria, and all that criteria was handed down by the legislation that invoked that. So you had Congress and the President Trump that were involved with that. And, you know, you had to, you couldn't be too big, and you had to have so many employees and pay so much in payroll in order to qualify. And, yeah, there were tremendous number of loans. There was hundreds and thousands of loans. You know, even in Montana, there were a lot of loans. And
some people tried to cheat, and they got caught.
Yeah, and probably there's some people who never got caught.
Right.
It should have. But, yeah, they were supposed to use the money to keep their employees in place. The whole, that was the point behind the legislation. But there was some character in Bozeman that used the money to go buy a car collection.
Right.
And
antique
stuff.
Cars.
Yeah. So, but that's typical of any government program. And again, during that time frame, there was tremendous amount of unemployment fraud where, you know, people would make unemployment claims and they were all a lot of them were fraudulent. So in terms of inflation, you know, yeah, anytime the government floods the economy with money, you're going to add to the inflation product. And as an example, when Biden got elected shortly after he took office, there was something like $1.8 trillion that flooded the zone. And so that has an impact on inflation.
I'm curious, did you take a PPP loan?
Did I? Not I.
I was just curious if you did or not in your business. For your business.
Oh, for my business? Well, the answer is yes. But I didn't take it, but my business did. And there's a lot of people who took out PPP loans because at that instant, we had no clue if the economy was going to survive or crash.
Right. You had to be. It was a backstop.
Oh, yeah. I know of law firms in different states like Oregon that, you know, a lot of law firms, a lot of places took out PPP loans. Doctors, medical professionals, attorneys.
Right. There is a program. If you didn't need the money, it actually didn't hurt you. You can send it back, as far as I know. I mean, my wife was, you know, like, you know, was a CPA, and her business was never hurt by the
pandemic.
By the pandemic. So she didn't take the money in the first place, but I assume if she had, she would have sent it back because her business was never hurt. But I guess that's optional unless, because.
Yep.
Yeah.
Dave, thanks for the call. It is we're up against a break. I will say those loans were such a temptation to the, if you will, the worst part of our nature, right? Mm-hmm. If some people see, oh, this is free money, woo-hoo, you know, and I can get away with this. Nobody's going to notice. There's so many people, da 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 da, and then they get caught. So
yeah. And a lot of people, a lot of businesses, at a certain time frame after they declared the pandemic, there was so much uncertainty out there. Nobody knew what the heck was going to happen. So. Right. That whole program was designed to alleviate that anxiety.
Right. We're up against a break. We're going to come right back. Ed is waiting very patiently. Ed, we'll get to you right after the break. All of our other phone lines are open. If you have a tax question, give us a call. Walt is here to answer them, 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Or you can use the KGVO app. Back with more after this.
Dennis Bragg with a Town Square weather forecast. A chance of snow early, then rain and snow showers, turning to all rain in the afternoon. A chance we may have some brief thunder out there as well, as we're just warm enough for that with highs near 50. Gusty winds will continue throughout the day. Weather remains unsettled Thursday with a chance of rain and snow showers early and rain in the afternoon, although the chance of showers will drop to 40%. Lows will continue close to freezing. Right now, at least, it looks like sunny and warmer on Friday.
And we are back on Talk Back. 721-1290 is our number. And the phone calls keep coming in, even though it's not tax season. Still lots of tax questions out there. And that is why the one and only Walt Kuro, our resident CPA from Kuro Byington and Associates, is with us to answer your questions. We appreciate his over 50 years of experience. Ed, good morning. Thanks for holding. You're on with Walt. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Ed.
Yeah, good morning. I've got two different things here. One, there's a downside to the post office's informed delivery. That's where they send you an email and you got a picture of the mail you're getting. Because late this afternoon, we're going to get something from the Department of Revenue, the Montana Department of Revenue. And now I can sit and wonder, what in the heck is that?
Mm-hmm.
Could this be forms for the second property tax rebate? That's due in August, right?
Yeah.
That application. Are they starting to send those forms out now? Or I'll know this afternoon. Am I in trouble?
I think you're in trouble. I don't think they've sent the second letter out for the property tax rebate yet. I think that'll come more likely in July. But, you know, who knows? The thing is, and I've mentioned this to a lot of my clients in this past year and even on the radio and prior shows, but nowadays both the state and the IRS are really run by computers. And they're only going to respond to what they see and what they're programmed to do. And so a lot of times things can happen that if a person saw it as opposed to a computer, they would respond with a question rather than just send a letter out and saying, hey, here's what we calculated your tax to be, and here's what's on the return. We say you owe this, or sometimes it goes the other way. Sometimes they'll say you've got a bigger refund coming. I strongly suspect, Ed, that's what you got. I think that's what's coming in the mail today.
Good. I can relax.
Yeah, I would relax. And you know, a lot of people, when I explain to them that when you're dealing with taxes nowadays, you're not talking with human beings. You're talking to their computer. And their computer is just, like I said, it's only going to react to what it gets and what it's programmed to do. And that doesn't include logic. You know, that doesn't say, oh, well, according to what we got here, it says that you owe $10,000. And then you find out, well, my wife made the estimated tax payments and she used her Social Security number. And Ed uses his Social Security number on the return, and that's the first one listed. And so then all of a sudden you go, oh, okay. And, you know, so it's easy for the state to have a pile of money under one Social Security number, and the bill goes to another Social Security number. So, you know, a computer is not going to catch that right away, whereas a human might go check that before they just react and send out hate mail.
Well, the only solution is obviously a divorce.
Yeah. Or the other thing.
Yeah.
I've got a question about Trump's tax cuts.
Yeah.
Okay, we're Social Security and pension people. We've got a real constant, boring income.
Yeah.
And I think his tax legislation was passed in 2017.
Yes. Yep.
And our 2018 taxes went down by 17%.
Yes.
And they've stayed down, and we're not back up to what we were in 2017. But Biden says that when he's reelected, he's going to let those lapse. Okay,
yes.
Let those disappear,
mm-hmm.
which means, you know, our taxes are going to go up
That's a great campaign ad, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
you
right.
Elect me and I'll raise your taxes. Woohoo! Sorry.
First, did you see any effect on your clients' taxes back in the Trump days when that law was passed?
Most of my clients had the same result or similar results as to what you had. You know, I do tax returns for people with almost no income, and I file a return for them to get the property tax rebate that that she has coming. But I don't even charge her to do the return. I do it pro bono. Now, I don't do very many of those, but I also do tax returns for multimillionaires and everything in between. But what I saw from the Trump tax cuts was, in general, there were exceptions, but in general, people had a, you know, 10-20% drop in taxes. Like you, like you experienced.
It sounds like, and that has accumulated to maybe close to $10,000 in the ensuing years, you know, in total.
Yeah, and so what's going to happen if those tax cuts, if that law expires and it reverses, you're going to have the opposite effect. You're going to raise taxes on everybody.
Ed, I think I might have to tell Tester that.
Ed, thanks for the call. We're up against a break. Sure. Jeff and Jerry are both waiting to visit with you, and we have several phone lines open at 721-1290, 1-800-568-5309, or the KGVO app. More with Walt Caro coming right up.
How was your drive to school?
Let me tell you, I had to get my iced coffee first. I just can't seem to put it down. My favorite rapper just announced a tour. My phone was buzzing like crazy. I'm so excited. I had to text all my friends right then to talk about it. Then someone started calling me and...
Let's try that again.
I turned my phone off right away. I never drive distracted.
Visit StopTextStopRex.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Okay, welcome back to Talk Back. Again, our guest in studio is Walt Caro from Caro Byington & Associates, our resident CPA. Over 50 years of experience to work and voluntary. Right here, just to help you out. All right, let's get Jeff on the line. Jeff, thanks for holding. You're on with Walt. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey, good morning, Walt. Hope you're doing well. Hope you enjoy your upcoming vacation. You deserve it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
I'll bet. I think it's important to remember that all spending legislation starts in Congress. You know, it gets labeled the Trump tax cut. Or the Trump PPP. It was not the Trump PPP. It was the CARES Act, and it was passed by Congress, just like the so-called Inflation Reduction Act, which is just basically a relabeling of the Green New Deal. That originated in Congress, too. Now, presidents can support passage and afterwards have to administer it, but the tax cut was not Trump's. It was Congress passing it, and he's signing it into law. The IRA was not Biden's. It was a Congress, and he signed it into law. Now, the administration of the Inflation Reduction Act is going to be largely bureaucratic. So in that sense, the administration gets to dole out who are the winners and losers. But I think it's just really important to remember that it's not the president who creates the laws. It's Congress. It might seem to be a nitpicky point, but when the tax cuts expire in 2025, it will be Congress that renews them or doesn't renew them. And if Biden is president, God forbid, he can sign it into law or not sign it into law. He can veto it, but then that's the only active thing he can do. He can't pass the legislation. So I don't want to belabor the point. I think it's just important to say this stuff accurately because I think presidents get too much blame and too much credit for things.
But they sure promote themselves that they can do things because that's what Biden was saying. He's gonna let the so-called Trump tax cuts expire. So the legislation in and of itself will expire because it was written with that. But
right. So if it expires, it won't be because a president did anything. Mm-hmm. It will be because Congress did nothing.
Yeah. Yep. But you bring up a good point, and I wholeheartedly agree with that concept that the spending starts in Congress. The one thing I'd love to add here is that a certain party, political party, seems to think when you do a tax cut that you're actually spending money. And I find that really hard to understand, other than somebody's trying to gaslight us. I think that's the best way to describe that.
Well, I think it's because they view all of our money as theirs. And it's going to be, what do they allow us to keep and what will they confiscate?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, years ago, Rush Limbaugh had a joke IR 1040 form under the Clinton administration that it was two lines. And it was basically, how much did you make last year?
Send it in.
And you write it down and go, send this amount in.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, I think it's the mindset of increasingly aggressive administrative state. I guess that's the kindest way I can portray it. You know, authoritarian, approaching totalitarian. I mean, you know, with some of the stuff that's proposed, those descriptions are not too far off. But and I just want to end with saying that, you know, if a business took advantage of a congressionally passed program like you did with the PPP, it's no different than us taking advantage of the state program that gets us a property tax rebate.
That's right.
Passed by the legislature, signed by the governor. You can choose to do it or not do it. It's your choice.
Yeah, or if I wanted to go out and buy a pure electric vehicle and get a $7,500 tax credit, same thing.
Exactly. It's an individual choice.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you never do.
No, I wouldn't do that. No.
Jeff, thanks for the call, sir. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jeff.
Tell you what, we're less than a minute away from a break, so I don't want to cut Jerry off. So we'll take a quick commercial break, come right back, get Jerry's full call. And all of our other phone lines are open. So if you have a tax question for Walt, that's why he's here. He'll be here all the way till 10 o'clock this morning. And we'd love to hear from you. That number is 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Back with more with Walt after this.
Dennis Bragg with a Town Square weather forecast. A chance of snow early, then rain and snow showers, turning to all rain in the afternoon. A chance we may have some brief thunder out there as well, as we're just warm enough for that with highs near 50. Gusty winds will continue throughout the day. Weather remains unsettled Thursday with a chance of rain and snow showers early and rain in the afternoon, although the chance of showers will drop to 40%. Lows will continue close to freezing. Right now, at least, it looks like sunny and warmer on Friday.
Hey, welcome back to TalkBack. 721-1290 is our number, and the ever more popular Walt Kiro joining us here in the studio this morning. Seems like every time you come on now, you're maxing out the phone lines. Jerry has been waiting. Jerry, good morning. You're on with Walt. Go ahead.
Hi, Jerry.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for taking my call, and I really appreciate that last caller's comments. They really gave me some insight. Now, I'm an 80-year-old retired citizen living on a fixed income, and I've got some mutual funds that generate capital gains. Now, the people that manage those funds every year, about the end of the year, they sell off some of the stock and create capital gains, and I never know what it is.
Yeah.
This year it was down. Last year it was sky high. And I've heard that Biden is going to increase capital gains, and he's running on that projection to raise more money for the government. Mm-hmm. So can you comment on what Biden has indicated and what a large increase in capital gains will do to people's income?
And you might also want to define capital gains.
Yeah. Okay. Well, capital gains is mostly defined, and I hate going down this path, but you brought it up.
Okay.
Code section 1202 discusses what's capital property and what's not and what qualifies as capital gains. There's short-term capital gains and long-term. And most of the time what Jerry's talking about, because it's a gain sitting inside a mutual fund, is long-term. And long-term is defined as a year and a day or longer. So if your holding period when you buy the property and sell the property is a year and a day, then it qualifies for long-term capital gains. And back in the Clinton-Bush era, Bush the second, they introduced a reduction in capital gains taxes because a lot of capital gains is rooted in inflation. And so they felt, well, let's not treat capital gains as ordinary income and give it a smaller tax rate. But what Jerry's revolving around is a lot of these mutual fund managers will say, hey, we've got a stock, we think it's topped out, we're going to sell it and take the capital gain. And so, and they do this usually around November, October of every year. And so if you're a mutual fund holder, it's common to get a big capital gain towards the end of the year. What I would do and what I would recommend, if it's possible, Jerry, is if you have investments that have capital losses, and if your advisor says, well, these are really dead dogs and they're not going to come back, or even if they are good losers, if you want to call it that, is take advantage of the capital loss and offset your gains in the mutual funds with capital losses. We call that tax harvesting. As long as you buy, if you have a good loser that you know is going to come back, you can sell it and wait 30 plus one day and repurchase it. And because if you think that's a good investment, then you can repurchase it, but you got to wait more than 30 days because they have what's called a wash sale rule. And nowadays, the brokerages, when they send their 1099s out, are including the calculations of wash sales. So that adjusts your capital gains and losses from what they report. You have to know that. But anyway, that's my best advice on capital gains and this phenomena that happens towards the end of the year.
Does that help you, sir?
Well, that helps some, but he didn't comment on Biden's projection that he's going to do a large increase in capital gains if he gets elected.
Yeah,
so
you're exactly
making general funds. Go
yeah,
ahead.
I went down that one rabbit hole, and you're exactly right. There is a proposal. I don't know if it's been introduced yet, but the proposal is to tax what they call unrealized gains. So at the end of the year, if Peter buys Boeing stock because it's now in the toilet, but at the end of the year, if it comes back and has a big gain, they're going to tax the gain whether or not you sold it. And so it's kind of like taxing what we call, well, it's called unrealized gains and losses. But it's putting the cart before the horse. And this country has never done that. And I think it would meet a lot of resistance, but it would raise taxes. And it would amount to paying taxes in advance. And I just don't. The idea is foreign, and it's just another example of government greed. And I don't think it'll go anywhere, but it is proposed, and he wants to raise revenue with that.
Thank you. I enjoyed that. I appreciate that response.
You're welcome,
we'll
Jerry.
We'll see you the next call.
All right.
Okay.
I tell you what, we are exactly 2 minutes away from taking a break. So do we have time to get one more call in? Oh, go ahead, Nick, please.
I'll do a quick app question.
Yeah, go ahead, please. Yes.
I don't know if you can answer this or not, but Katie wanted to know, are bonds a good inflation hedge given the increase in interest rates? What about tax-free bonds, state bonds, federal government bonds, and corporate bonds? Which ones are better and which ones are worse, typically?
Oh, okay, Kate. I used to have an investment seller's licenses, Series 7 and 66, but I got rid of those a long time ago. And I'm a tax person for the most part. So the thing I can address with those is if I can talk about tax-free things, including like treasuries, because they're tax related. And the Treasury series offers, I think it's called TIPS, which is Treasury Inflation Protected Securities. I would look at that because it will protect you in an inflationary period. And the nice thing about that, Montana cannot tax treasury interest, so there's a benefit there. You can deal with that to a certain extent with municipal bond interest, but if it's not Montana municipal bond, then it's taxable to Montana. So those kinds of things, if you want to protect against inflation, if you come up with a good plan, you could become a gazillionaire because nobody's been able to come up with a good hedge on that. Buying a business, real estate's a good investment during inflation. So anyway,
there you go. So we are virtually, we got about 20 seconds before we're done with this hour. So we're going to ask Tim and Dave to hang on the phone. We'll get to you first right after the top of the hour break. If you have a tax question, get in line now. Get in the queue at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5453-7, whatever. Yeah.
This is TalkBack, 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309.
This is News Talk KGVO, AM 1290 and 98.3 FM. KGVO, Missoula's news and weather station.
Welcome back to Talk Back. Talk Back this morning is brought to you by our friends at Y West Storage out at the Y on Two Smokes Way. Get pricing and availability at this number, 406-510-0590. Y West Storage is always making room for you. Phillips Janitorial does both residential and commercial cleaning, and no job is too big or small for them. If you'd like to find out more, here's their number, 406-260-6617. You got to put those in your phone. Also brought to you by Harrington Surgical Supply, where appointments are preferred for mastectomy fittings and custom compressions, but walk-ins are always welcome.
The views and opinions expressed on TalkBack are not those of the staff, management, or advertisers.
Hey, we are back on TalkBack. Joining us here in the studio this morning, Walt Kira, our resident CPA, Nick Christensen over there, taking your phone calls. And Tim has been waiting very patiently all the way through the break. Tim, good morning. You're on TalkBack, sir. What's on your mind?
Great. Thanks a lot. Well, I'm kind of concerned that people think that the president doesn't spend money without Congress approval. And the biggest one you can look at right now is student loan debt forgiveness. How many billions of dollars did he spend through executive order without acting through Congress? And how many more of those executive orders have gone along and created money draws on programs already in place through executive orders? So to think that he is going to Congress every time he spends money really isn't realistic anymore.
Yeah, technically it should, but they found loopholes, I guess for lack of a better word, to circumvent the law. And is that right? Well, yeah. Obviously not.
So, yeah, I mean, so he can spend whatever he wants. He wouldn't, and they'll just wait for it to go through court. So to think that he can't spend without Congress is just a mistake.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate because that's why we have a Constitution. That's why it was drawn up that way. And, you know, Biden's desperate. He's trying to buy votes with our money, which is, I've said for years, is one of the biggest scams going for politicians of all sorts to buy votes with our money. And this is a clear-cut example of that.
KGVO, right. So, I mean, he can just do whatever he wants and nobody's going to stop him. The media doesn't care. And when you can't get the message out and you're considered a conspiracy nut, then there's no way ever to fight back.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Let's get right back to the phone. Say hello to Emma. Emma, thanks for holding. You're on TalkBack with Walt Kira. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Emma.
Hi. I have a question for you. I just recently got back from a trip visiting relatives in Washington State. And I did some shopping there and had to pay sales tax. And then I found out, which I didn't know, that my relatives don't pay a state income tax on their wages.
Right.
And I think it probably evens out, you know. But I was just wondering, is that beneficial, or does it just even out paying in state income tax or not having that and paying a sales tax?
Well, Emma, that's the $54 million question. In Washington, they may not know this yet because this is something that's new. But in Washington, they've been trying for years to get an income tax, but they've always failed. And but up until recently, their legislature passed a capital gains tax. And so now, if you have capital gains and you're a Washington resident, you could have an income tax to pay. Whereas in the past, they've always relied on the sales tax for their revenue source. Another thing that Washington has that we don't, and it's a problem over there, is what they call a realty transfer tax. And so if you gift a parcel of land to your kids, you get to pay the 1%, or actually I think it's 1.75% now, realty transfer tax. And that happens every time there's a sale. The only exempt sale of real estate in the state of Washington from this transfer tax is between a husband and a wife. So, but your ultimate question is what's better? It depends on your viewpoint. Most of the people like a sales tax are people that would benefit if they went to a sales tax. In other words, they pay more in income tax than they would in sales tax, and then vice versa. So I don't like to analyze it in those lights. What I like to analyze is how much is the state government spending per capita. And then you say, oh, okay, well, if state X is spending $2,000 per taxpayer or per capita, and the next door state is only spending $1,500, then that tells me one is not spending as much as the other, and are they better managed, more frugal, et cetera, et cetera. I think dollars is the way to look at that thing overall. In terms of benefits versus one versus the other, there's always good and bad sides to taxes. And the ones that are best are the ones you can see and the ones you can have influence on. Does that help you, Emma? I'm not going to say what's best.
I guess you gave me more information than I asked for, but I guess all taxes even out as far as I'm concerned. I don't know if they tax food over there. I'm not sure.
They used to, and they will tax restaurant beverages. Now, if you're a Montana resident, and I've gone to Washington for years, and you used to be able to get your sales tax abated to you. In other words, you wouldn't have to pay it at the point of purchase.
As long as you have ID, Montana ID.
Yeah, but that's the old. Now they have to collect it. Wow. And you can apply once a year, or I think every so often, you can apply it to the Department of Revenue in Olympia and get it back. But the burden of proof is on you, and you have to show proof of purchase and yada, yada, yada.
I thought it was really interesting. I thought, it sounds good. I mean, you still have to pay federal tax, income tax, you don't have to pay state.
Oh, yeah.
I thought, it sounds real good, but still, every time you buy something, you're paying taxes.
Oh, yeah, the governor's in your hand every time you purchase something. The governor's in your wallet. And I hated it. I lived in Seattle for a year, and I hated it. Just drove me absolutely bonkers. And I also did sales tax returns. And you want to talk about a paperwork blizzard? Sales taxes generate more paper than income tax would even dream of creating.
Yeah.
But thank God for computers now. Saves trees.
Yeah. Sounds like you're not a fan of sales tax.
No, not really. Overall, you know, like I say, there's good and bad on both sides of the sales tax versus income tax. And you never trust a politician to say, well, if you give me a sales tax, I'll reduce your property taxes. The only way I would consider a sales tax is if they eliminated the property tax. Yeah. You have to eliminate a tax before you can create a new one.
Emma, we're way past the break. Thank you so much for your call. Okay. Appreciate it, ma'am. Yep. And we're going to come right back with Dave's call. And by the way, all the phone lines are open at 721-1290, 1-800-568-5309. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you right after this.
Dennis Bragg with a Town Square weather forecast. A chance of snow early, then rain and snow showers, turning to all rain in the afternoon. A chance we may have some brief thunder out there as well, as we're just warm enough for that with highs near 50. Gusty winds will continue throughout the day. Weather remains unsettled Thursday with a chance of rain and snow showers early and rain in the afternoon, although the chance of showers will drop to 40%. Lows will continue close to freezing. Right now, at least, it looks like sunny and warmer on Friday.
Hey, welcome back. Talk Back is rolling right along this morning. Only about 45 minutes left in our time with Walt Kiro, our resident CPA from Kiro Byington & Associates. 721-1290 is our number. Dave has been waiting very patiently. Dave, thank you so much, sir. What's on your mind?
Yeah, first of all, I'd like to say that presidents get way too much credit and way too much blame for the economy. In my view, Republicans buy votes by cutting taxes. Democrats buy votes by increasing spending, and they both are political. But it's interesting to me that when it comes to balancing the budget, it becomes a big issue when Democrats are presidents, not when Republicans are president. And as far as inflation goes, we're all to blame for inflation. Everyone who asks for more money, who raises his product costs that he sells, a landlord who raises the rent, we're all part of the inflation system for this country. And the country is, in my view, is like a giant ship that is slow to, it moves along president after president and rarely does much more than just barely turns either way, and it is hard to slow down or speed up.
All right. Thanks for the call, Dave. Your thoughts, Walt?
Well, my thoughts are is inflation is really driven by the basics, and it's driven by M1 and M2. Well, what the heck is M1 and M2? Well, in my world, M1 and M2 is a reconciliation form on a tax return. But kidding aside, M1 and M2 has to do with the money supply. And if you are a student or have listened to or read books by Milton Friedman or Thomas Sowell, you will get a good introduction into the money supply. And inflation is defined as too few goods or too much money chasing too few goods. And whether it's rent, as Dave decides, a person who owns property, if their property tax bill goes up a gazillion percent, they have no choice. They have to pass on that bill. Now, if they don't, they just eat it. But it wouldn't take very many years of eating it, and you'll have to sell the property or whatever. Give it back to the mortgage holder if you have a mortgage. So to me, all
that stuff always runs downhill.
Yeah, to me, I would. There's a lot of social discussion with regards to inflation, but the true culprit is the money supply. And I like to listen to those folks that have studied inflation and the money supply and that. And so, whether it's University of Chicago or Stanford or those folks, they make it their life work to look at that, study it.
And the nice thing is that once a day you get a 1 minute economics lesson with Dr. Patrick Barkey, the Montana Economic Minute. Some of his little 1 minute programs are extremely insightful.
Yes.
And so if you listen to those during ACE's morning show, you might learn a few good lessons.
Yeah. And I like listening to Pat when he's on here, and I can't remember if he's answered that question, but it would be good if he's got an official position on. Where does inflation come from?
Right. I'm sure he's addressed it many, many times. But I, you know, it might be a good idea. I'm going to write myself a note to call Patrick and try to do a little individual interview about inflation.
Yeah.
I'm writing it down right now. All right.
Got it.
Good. All right. So the phone lines are open at 721-1290, 1-800-568-5309. If there's anything on your mind that has anything to do with taxes, this is the time to call. But you still have your stack of stuff.
Yes, that's our lifesaver. It's got a stack of stuff.
So
anyway, going forward in that, we only touched on really one item so far, but what happens to the Harvard Foundation if they lose their tax-exempt status?
Wow.
Well, it would no longer be exempt from federal income tax. It would start paying corporate-level tax on its income, which is in the billions anyway. The the foundation may also be subject to back taxes and penalties if they'll failure to pay corporate income taxes as of the effective date of the revocation. Ouch! Which means retroactive.
Wow.
I'm not going to talk about states, but the Harvard Foundation will not be listed in the IRS list of organizations eligible to receive tax-deductible charitable contributions. As a result of that, donors will not be able to receive a tax deduction for their gifts until after, you know, the revocation date. So, finally, most private foundations are unlikely to give a grant directly to nonprofits because they have to be able to give to an entity that is tax-exempt. So you can have private foundations, say like the Tides Foundation.
Right.
And if they want to make tax-deductible donations, say the Harvard Foundation, they would lose that. So anyway, there's a whole bunch of repercussions to that. And I think if Congress would stiffen their spine and go after Harvard and Yale and UCLA, any of those foundations, they should take their tax-exempt status away for putting up with all this anti-Semitism.
We're going to come right back. 721-1290 is our number, 1-800-568-5309. Or, of course, you can use the KGVO app. We'd be more than happy to pass that along to you, and you can pass along your message to us. So we're going to come right back. Get Jeff is back with another question or comment. We'll be back right after this.
You know, meet Ed, movie buff, animal lover, safe driver.
5 years of driving an ambulance teaches you a thing or two. If people knew what I know, lives could be saved. When I see a car trying to rush past a turning bus, I get concerned. You see, when big vehicles turn right, they have to swing wide to make the turn. And that's a lesson you don't want to learn the hard way. When trucks and buses turn, let's you and I wait.
It's our roads. It's our safety.
Visit www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. Talk back rolling right along. I'm Peter Christian. Nick Christensen over there taking your phone calls, producing Talk Back every day. Walt Kiro from Kiro Byington, the CPA, is joining us here in the studio. Let's get Joe on first. Joe, good morning. Thanks for holding. You're on Talk Back. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Joe.
Good morning. I got a question, and then I got a follow-up if you have time for it, but you know, you look at, like, let's say Soft Landing or some of these other nonprofits that here's my question. I don't believe they're supposed to be involved in political actions, you know, to have that status. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, you cannot get involved with it. And when it says political, what they talk about in charitable tax exempt status law is political campaigns. Now, a lot of people use the term political to include not only campaigning and elections. I mean, besides elections, they include campaigning for elections, but then also legislative functions. So like promoting legislation or promoting the defeat of proposed legislation. When it gets to legislation, the rules are a little bit wonkier. I should say more complicated, but if it involves political elections, it's verboten for these nonprofits to get involved.
Yeah, so the number one political issue apparently is immigration. That is the number by all the polling. So even inflation or abortion or all these other issues, but you have these nonprofits that are promoting
open borders and helping move these people around the country. So to me, that's a clear violation, but probably not, because, as you said, they're not contributing a particular candidate or something like that.
Yeah, well, let me give you an example where it gets wonky and complicated. Is you got Zuckerbucks, right? You got Mark Zuckerberg handing out millions and millions of dollars. He can do that and get a deduction because it's under the guise of education and the guise of educating people to, you know, it's your civic responsibility to vote. And so they'll spend that money to register people to vote and Lord knows what else. And so they can get away with that.
We don't want to bring up, let's not bring up hush money.
Oh, no.
Right? As a political contribution.
Yeah.
Let's not even bring that up. Mm-hmm. Hey, I wanted to mention one more thing, if you got time.
Sure.
That is, the state auditor was on a week ago or so, and I asked him about the Baucus Institute, whether or not he thought it should be audited, because the Biden Institute was taking $70 million from the Chinese, et cetera. So, and he is on the board of Alibaba. Max Baucus, you
know? Yeah,
and he's always making money.
Yeah, and, big bucks.
So, the auditor, he did not answer that question, but another caller called in afterwards and said, "Oh, I want to make a correction. Max Baucus was not the ambassador to China; he was the ambassador to Japan."
Right.
And yeah, and that's not true. Of course, he was the ambassador to China.
Yeah, it was Mike Mansfield who was the ambassador to Japan. Yes, sir.
Yeah, so anyway, but the auditor thanked her for the correction. And I'm like, oh, my God, he really messed that one up.
Okay.
He didn't even know that Max Baucus was the ambassador to China. That's not very good.
All right.
He thanked that lady for correcting that.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call, Jeff. Appreciate that. And let's get thank you, Joe. Let's get Jeff on the line. Jeff, good morning. You're on with Walt Kiro. Go ahead, please, sir.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, Jeff.
I hate to sound pedantic, but the caller at the top of the hour said that government can just spend money as they wish. And when Biden first proposed his student loan forgiveness, he listed three or four different ways he was going to do that, and that was through fixing, in quotation marks, existing programs. There's a public student loan forgiveness program out there that so far has only actually forgiven 7,000 loans because the hoops you have to go through were pretty stringent. So what he's going to do is take that existing public law, that's what he proposed on the first student loan forgiveness program, he's going to fix, in quotes, the existing law so that it would apply to more people. The Supreme Court shot that down. The U.S. Supreme Court shot that plan down. So a prudent person would say, well, I guess we can't do this. But the Biden administration came back and said, no, we're going to try it again. And they're trying to fix the same program through a different rule. So they're basically gaming the system. But the point is that it's existing programs funded by Congress that they have to go try to find a fish for a extreme logic, or tortuous logic, I guess you'd call it, in order to make that public law and that funding apply to the problem at hand. Here's an example from the Trump years. When Trump wanted to build the wall, Congress failed, refused to appropriate money for it. So what did Trump do? He went looking in his administration for money already approved by Congress, and he got it through a bunch of different means. I don't remember all of them, but one of them was through taking money for military defense, for national defense from the military on the grounds that he was defending the United States by building the wall. So the point I just want to make is that all funding starts with Congress. And now, you know, Congress has abrogated its responsibility. It does not specify funding the way it used to do in the founding times of the country. They passed that on to the administrative state.
And that's where the problem is. If Congress were doing their job, there would not be this problem, because the president would not have those liberties. But because they've abrogated all of their legislative, or most of their legislative responsibilities, to the administrative state who proposes rules, that's why we're in the problem we're in. But it is Congress who does the funding. So,
well spoken, Jeff. I think you've stated the issue quite well there.
Jeff, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. We're going to come right back. All of our phone lines are open now. If you have a tax question for Walt, love to get those in as well. 721-1290 is our number. Walt is here for another 28 minutes. Tick, tick, tick.
So, yeah, and I can hardly wait to talk about Dave Ramsey's mean tweets.
Okay, yes. And in lieu of calls, we will get back to the stack of stuff that Walt always brings with him. We're going to come right back after this. Phone lines are open, though. It's 721-1290.
Lorraine knew she wanted to adopt a teenager from foster care.
I love teenagers. I think it adds an element of fun because you can really do activities as a family that everybody
loves. The Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption believes you're never too old for family. More than 20,000 children in the U.S. are at risk of aging out of foster care without a family. Learn how you can help at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Welcome back to Talk Back. 721-1290 is our number. CW and Larry are both waiting to visit with Walt, but you've got something there in your stack of stuff. Very interesting.
Yeah, I thought it was piqued my curiosity as well as yours. Dave Ramsey's mean tweets. And where this came from, Dave Ramsey's daughter, Rachel Cruz, and this lady has a killer smile. I mean, she has a smile that it just almost melts you when you see it. But anyway, Rachel and a co-host, George Camel, they do a video show, radio call-in show, and they took a lighthearted look at some of the most recent unpopular financial advice on the channel, as noted by the term mean tweets. And there's five of them here, but I'll just get into the first couple, and then we can get back to callers.
Gotcha.
Number one, the number one mean tweet is... and this will cause a lot of rancor. Couples should combine their finances. So after you get married, you should combine your finances. Now, there's a lot of second marriages out there, and a lot of people try to keep things separate. But they're recommending things to be combined. And that way, everybody's looking at everything, and they know everybody, you know, what's going on. Hopefully, you know, there's transparency. That's what we want to look for. The second thing, it's cheaper to eat at home. That's a mean tweet. Well, makes sense. I mean, we do it all the time.
Well, it's true.
Yeah. So anyway, those are the two of the five mean tweets we're going to talk about.
I'm not sure why those are mean, but anyway. All right, let's get CW on the line. CW, good morning. Thanks for holding. You're on Talk Back with Walt. Go ahead, please.
Hi, CW.
Oh, well, this is a question about Social Security income.
Yeah.
I'm on Social Security income, and what I would like to know is how much other income can I have before they cut my Social Security income?
Oh, okay. Well, there are a couple of primary rules we have to deal with. I'm going to deal with the one. Between the ages of 62 and regular retirement age, which let's just say it's 67 right now, if you make more than about $20,000 in earned income, W-2s, self-employment income and that, you can't make more than $20,000. If you make more than $20,000 and you're taking Social Security under what we call early retirement, then for that tax year, any dollar that's above the limit, they reduce your following year's Social Security by 50 cents on the dollar. So let's say the maximum you can make is 20, you make 30 in earned income. So in the following year, they take that $10,000 overage, take 50% of that, which would be $5,000, and they split that up over your next 12 payments in that following year. So they would reduce your following year Social Security tax. I mean, payment. Now, that's the one rule with Social Security. I'm not sure, but if you're headed in the other direction, which is how much of my Social Security is going to be taxed, you can earn, if you're single, up to about $25,000 of non-Social Security income, and your Social Security income will not be taxed. But it gets phased in so that by the time your non-Social Security income reaches $45,000, that up to 85% of your Social Security will be taxed. I wish it was simpler to say, simpler to explain, but it's not.
It's graduated.
That's just the way, yeah, it's graduated. And those formulas, thank God for software, are a complete nightmare.
Yeah.
Now, if you're married filing joint and you collect Social Security, you can earn up to around $35,000 of non-Social Security income before the Social Security starts to be taxed. So does that help you, CW?
Well, you were talking about early retirement. What about if you're on full retirement, about 77 years old?
Oh, well, then that rule, once you reach regular retirement age, you could be Elon Musk and have a billion-dollar W-2, and they won't ding you on your Social Security payment.
Oh, okay.
It's just in that window of between 62 and regular retirement age that rule applies.
Oh, okay. That's what I was kind of wondering about, because interest rates are kind of going up, and I need to start drawing more out of my IRS, and I was just curious about how much I could start drawing off of that before I start getting dinged with Social Security getting deducted.
Yeah, it's a delicate balance. And for some people that are like in your position, and let's say they let's say you bunch up some income on your interest. Say you have some bonds and they all mature, say, 2 years from now, and you get a bunch of interest in that year, you know, and Social Security starts being taxed, you can get hit with a double whammy by increased income on the interest, but then it can even double or triple depending upon how much Social Security gets taxed. And so I've seen some really bad results because of that. And so you're exactly right to look at that.
Okay, that's what I was kind of worried about, because this is the first year that some of my Social Security got taxed. So that's why I was kind of wondering about how far it'd go before they start cutting it too, besides. So
yeah, but you bring up an excellent point, CW, because you can take some of your interest, and if you can defer the interest for a year or two, then that works to your favor, because then it's going to pop in 1 year rather than right now. So if you're just on the cusp where your Social Security is being taxed, you might think about that. Talk to whoever you're working with that creates that interest income, and then go from there.
Oh, okay.
That makes sense. You understand?
Good idea.
You understand where I'm headed, CW, with that?
Yeah, I do. I do. I was just kind of wondering about how much I could start drawing off that IRS before I got dinged both ways.
Yeah, you're going to get it. So if you can, you're caught between a rock and a hard place there.
CW, we're up against a break. Thanks for the call. We're going to come right back. And thanks for the call, by the way. Larry is waiting. We're going to get him on. Seven other phone lines are open. If you have a question, 721-1290, 1-800-568-5309 is our number. And Walt Kuro, our resident CPA from Kuro Byington and Associates, is with us here in the studio. We'll get more in a moment.
Town Square Media and...
Okay, man, this is your time. Maybe you didn't choose this, but you're here now. You're going to go out there and be an all-star caregiver. Cook, clean, be there emotionally and physically. You got to dig deeper. Drive them to physical therapy, doctor's appointments, because that's what caregivers do. Don't give up. Show the world that you're tougher than tough. Caregiving is tougher than tough. Find the care guides you need at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. We are back on TalkBack. It's 721-1290. That's the number. Walt Kuro, our resident CPA from Kuro Byington and Associates, very generously donating his time to answer your general tax questions. And you've been doing it for how long now on this program?
God, well, back when Pete Denault was here is when I started.
Years, yeah. Probably longer than
10,
me.
10, 12, I don't know.
All right, let's get Larry on the line. Larry, good morning. You're on with Walt. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Larry.
Good morning. We're going from mean tweets to conspiracy theories. I keep hearing and reading more and more about a digital currency being developed quite behind the scenes. And I'm just wondering if you've read anything about that and what might be the tax implications of going to this digital currency and what strategies might be available to kind of fend that off. It just scares me to death.
It scares me too, Larry. It doesn't scare me to death, but it scares me. And what I am seeing is probably the same things you are. I get a lot of flyers, you know, off the internet that talk about digital currency and that the current administration is working behind the scenes to implement that and take our currency away, take our cash away. And so if they did that, well, I don't know if they could. And that's why I'm not, you know, I'm not scared to death, but I am scared because they will try it because they want to.
Yeah,
it's just another way of controlling us. And, you know, that's one of the hallmarks of socialism is they want to control the snot out of us. And that's one way of doing it. If they control our cash, and that's one way of doing it.
Could they make up supposedly income using this digital currency and say you've made this much or something like that? I don't know. Don't know how they're going to manipulate something like that. But.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, the idea, the proposal is they would take away, you know, our greenbacks and then just give us digits on an account in our computer under our, you know, with our name and our password and so on and so forth. Wow. Yeah, that's what I think it would look like, you know. But the government is so inept and stupid. I mean, you look at, they tried to put together a website and they for Obamacare. They spent $1 billion and it failed. So going to a digital currency, it's going to take a lot of work and a lot of time. And the government, I don't know if they have the brain power to do it. You know, I just have my, I'm skeptical.
Yeah, what could go wrong, huh?
Well, yeah.
Thank you, Walt.
You bet, Larry.
It. Talk to you later.
Always, okay. Always a pleasure, Larry. Thanks for the call. 721-1290 is our number. 1-800-568-5309. And we do have another caller. I believe this is Brian. Brian, good morning. You are on with Walt Kiro on TalkBack. Hi.
Hi, Brian.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Great.
Good. Hey, I got a simple question that's probably been answered a dozen times, but I didn't hear it. So these mill levies, you know, they always phrase it as it'll be this much additional property tax on homes. But do those mill levies apply to all landowners like grocery stores, rental complex owners, you know, the gas stations, meaning everybody has to pay for a mill levy, whether they say it's based on a home's value?
My understanding of this, Brian, is yes. If you have property and it's subject to property tax in Missoula County, if Missoula County and Missoula City and the schools are applicable to your property, then it's going to get included in your tax bill. So if you're in the Hellgate Elementary District, your business or your house or whatever it happens to be will be taxed, including all of those mills.
Okay, so I guess my overall point, and I didn't know that, but now my overall point would be, even if people rent, they're paying additional rent ultimately.
Correct.
Because the owner is going to have to pass that cost on to somebody. So
people you're rent, exactly right. Yeah, and okay. Just as a rule of thumb, and a lot of people don't know this, but The state of Montana allows for a property tax rebate for people who are 62 and older and have less than $45,000 a year in household income. You can get up to, used to be $1,000 back, but now it's $1,150. But they use, if you rent, if you have a paid rent receipt, 15% of that rent is designated as property tax or the equivalent of a property tax for purposes of that credit. And so if you're paying $15,000 a year in rent, the system would allow you to take 15% of that or $1,000 or whatever, however the math comes out, has a towards that property tax credit rebate. So, anyway, that's something, you're exactly right. Even though the landlord has the burden of making the payment, the landlord typically has the rent, the property tax inside their rent as a factor for what they charge. If they don't, they're being economically naive.
Yeah, I agree. So, anyhow, well, I appreciate it.
And, you bet, Brian.
That's all I got.
Thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate it. We're going to get Elena's call on. More calls coming in for Wald Kiro, 7212. They just keep on coming, man. We're going to be right back with more talk back after this 1 minute timeout.
Are you looking for less?
we have an invader in the studio. We have a kitten.
Four-legged.
Yeah, a four-legged little kitten in here. And yeah, poor Nick. I thought he was going to have a heart attack there for a second.
I thought it was a wrap for a second.
Okay, let's go ahead. Sorry, let's go ahead and get Elena on the line. Elena, good morning. What's on your mind?
Hi, Elena.
I don't remember. No. I got a new name for you guys. How about the Come On Morning Guys? How's that?
Come On Morning.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah. I want to add to that digital currency. You want to talk about total government control. Picture this. You want to go to a gas station and you want to get gas. And all of a sudden it rejects your card. You better get in touch with the government. Why? Well, you didn't do something, or you did do something that the government doesn't like. So they tie up your credit card, or you want to call it digital currency. Mm-hmm. You go shopping, same thing. You're online and you pay for your groceries. Up. Sorry, you better get in touch with the IRS. Sorry, you better get in touch with. And so that's total control, and that's the worst thing we can do. And I noticed something from businesses, banks, other businesses, utilities. They make it real hard for you to send a check. The mail is delayed or something happens, and they want you to go to having things automatically taken out of your bank account. And I've been noticing that a lot lately. And now that all of a sudden the mail is going to go through Spokane or something, Seattle, the postal mail, if it's expensive. Well, I mean,
they're moving some of the mail sorting and selection issues to Spokane, and they're going to be renovating what's going on in the Missoula main post office. So, yeah, a lot of folks, most of our congressional delegation was against this, but they went ahead and did it anyway.
Of course. We don't mean anything. I mean, I'm waiting for something. I don't know if they're in the process or practicing. From Missoula, a week ago, they said that they were mailing something to me. I mailed a check to somebody. They said, and it was over a week. They said, oh, no, I mailed it, you know, 3-4 days, the usual time. Oh, you got to send it more than that, at least a week, 2 weeks. Give me a break.
Yeah, Elena, it sounds like you and Ed ought to get together and compare notes with the post office, because he has issues with them, too.
You bet.
Oh, well, thanks, guys, and thank you for being the morning guys.
Hey, Elena, thanks for pounding on the concerns with digital currency, because if anything can happen, that control is scary. And right now, the federal government especially has not been earning our trust. That's for sure.
Let's get Bill on the line. Bill, good morning. You may be our last caller this morning. What's on your mind, sir?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hi, Bill.
Walt, I apologize if you've answered this a dozen times, but I have a question on the property tax rebate that the governor did a year ago, and
yeah.
we could get $675.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering if that was going to take place again this year.
Yes, the answer to that is yes. That's an easy question to answer. Yes, yes, yes. Now, to bring up Jeff's point, is the legislature introduced the bill, passed it, and the governor signed it. So they both get the credit, or some people weren't happy with that because they felt the money should have stayed in Helena, but I'm a happy camper. I'm a happy taxpayer because of the rebate. So anyway, yeah, the answer is yes, Bill. You'll get another $675, but I think we have a form to fill out, but this year it won't be as difficult because we did it once before.
Okay, and so what, they just send that out at some point?
I think so.
Let you know. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Well,
okay.
That's great news, Walt, and I really, really enjoy you coming on twice a month. It's really a pleasure listening to you.
You bet. Well, hey, thanks. I appreciate the compliment.
Well, call more often, Bill.
Yeah.
We appreciate that. Thanks for the call. Okay, now, you're hitting the road here pretty quick.
Yeah, I'm going to go fishing in Alaska and go sightseeing and visit some national parks.
But you'll be on the show anyway, right?
Yeah, I'll be on the show anyway. at first, I thought I might be on the cruise ship for the second week, but the first week, we're going to be driving around Anchorage. And I've got some friends up in Anchorage that I went to school with here, and looking forward to it.
Right.
Fishing, getting the halibut off the bottom.
Give us some contact information for Carol Byington.
Sure, for Carol Byington. Downtown Missoula, 269 West Front Street. Just a little down from the Tamarack and the Stockmans, a little west of there. We have a website, Carol Byington and Associates. It's KBA and KBCPAS.net. And you'll be able to find us. And thank you.
Safe travels.
You bet.
Thank you. All right, Mr. Nick, what's coming up? We got a lot going on tomorrow. What's happening?
So pretty busy schedule from 8:10 to 8:20. We'll talk with Keely from Red Cross, and then from 8:30 to 9:30, our friend Teresa Nygaard will join us again. She's with a different organization now called Cancer Support Community Montana. They have a big event coming up, so she'll be on for an hour, and she'll have some folks from her team here talking about all that stuff. And then from 9:30 to 10,
there's more. Yeah,
we'll have a community medical center. We'll have Dr. Matz join us again with May being Stroke Awareness Month. He's going to talk about prevention and signs of a stroke and the importance of getting to the ER quickly. And they also might bring one of their specialists from inpatient rehab to also talk about life after a stroke. So hopefully we might get two people, but you know, we'll definitely have Dr. Matz again.
So we definitely are going to have a smorgasbord of topics coming up on tomorrow's Talk Back. Hope you'll join us. And again, a big thank you, first of all, to Walt Kiro. Appreciate it, buddy. A fountain of information when it comes to tax things. We appreciate it. And, of course, I want to wish you safe travels on your way to Alaska and back again. And I want to especially a big thank you to all of you guys who call when Walt is here. In the last several months, you've kept him busy the whole 90 minutes or two full hours he's been here. So, again, thanks to you for doing that. All right, so thanks for joining us. Looks like we have a cloudy day out there. I'm going to be heading out to the University of Montana this afternoon. Some big doings over there may be happening. We're going to look into that for some news coming up. But tomorrow, join us once again for Talk Back. Of course, at 6, we invite you to join Ace Sourwine. He's the captain of the ship for Montana Morning, and he'll be on from 6 to 8 tomorrow. So, on behalf of Nick Christensen, I'm Peter Christian. Don't forget the phone numbers. Put them in your phone, 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309, or use the KGVO app. We'll see you tomorrow.